السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم We had been discussing with regards to Ihsan in married life and I want to just mention one malfuz of our late Shaykh Muhammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali wherein he mentioned that in marriage and in fact this is not only in marriage but Hazrat was talking more especially with regards to marriage but this is in all our relationships that we must not concern ourselves too much with regards to our own rights we must rather concern ourselves with regards to others' rights that we need to fulfill for example a husband He must worry about fulfilling his wife's rights. He mustn't worry about how much of his rights his wife is fulfilling. He must worry about fulfilling his wife's rights. The wife, on the other hand, she must worry about fulfilling the husband's rights. Right? So in this way, if each person, if the children, they worry about fulfilling the parents' rights and the parents worry about fulfilling the children's rights, mother-in-law, she concerns herself with her daughter-in-law's rights and the daughter-in-law concerns herself with the mother-in-law's rights. So what will happen? An environment of fulfilling one another's rights will be created rather than an environment of fighting for your rights. When we are going to worry about our rights being fulfilled, so then we will be fighting. We'll be fighting for our rights. But when we don't concern ourselves with regards to this and we worry about fulfilling rights, so each person will then be fulfilling the next person's rights and then the world will become like Jannat on earth. Because nobody will be harming anybody. No, I'm fulfilling your rights, you're fulfilling my rights. So everybody's rights are being fulfilled. And if you think about it, in the Akhirat also, Allah Ta'ala is not going to question us regarding our rights that were not fulfilled by others. We're not going to be answerable for that. What we're going to be answerable for is the rights that we owed to others. Did we fulfill those rights? So why concern ourselves over something that we're not going to be questioned with regards to it in Akhirat. We rather worry about that which we're going to be questioned about. I need to fulfill. For example, take a ustad and a student, right? Now the student, he sits with a clock. Now I'm going to check. Maulana never come on time. Didn't come on time, I'm taking down notes. I'm just watching a whole period. No, he 2 minutes he was drinking water. Make a note of it. Now he is worried about what the ustad is supposed to be doing. He's keeping his gaze on that. But at the end of the lesson, now ask him by what you understood from the lesson, what notes you took down. What lesson? He doesn't know. So the thing that he was supposed to be doing is not concerning himself with regards to that. He's worrying about somebody else. So if the student worries about doing his work and fulfilling his ustad's rights, and the ustad worries about doing his work and fulfilling the student's rights, now everything will continue in harmony. So we must extend this malfuz of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is packed with wisdom in every walk of our life. Every walk of our life. If we are driving behind a motor car and we are on the fast lane and that fellow is not moving on to the left lane, right? So we doing the right thing, we are on the right lane, right? And we carrying on. He's not moving on to the left lane. Now do we have to start swearing and muttering and shouting and getting frustrated? No, it's his problem. He's not moving. It's not my fault he's not moving. But now when I'm driving And somebody comes behind me, I must move away. I must give that person way. Let him go. So we must extend it to everything in our lives. G. Enliven a dead sunnah. Right? Ma'isha radiallahu ta'ala said that whenever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would enter the house, he would do so smiling. Would enter the house smiling. Although he was so grieved for his ummah. The Nabi sallallahu had so much of fikr on his mind, and he had such a huge responsibility on his Mubarak shoulders. He had so much to accomplish in such a short time, to change an entire ideology of a people, and to make such effort which will last till Qiyamah. Right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he mentioned that no Nabi was troubled by his ummah like how I was troubled. Right? So, the question then arises is that certain Anbiya alayhim as-salam, they were sawed in half by the people. Right? Certain Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, they preached for so long. I mean, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's zamana, the period of Dawat, was only 23 years. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu was salam is 950 years. Right? Look at Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. He had to leave his people also, his hometown, go away somewhere else. And hundreds of years, so much of persecution, etc. So how come Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that I was troubled the most? No other Nabi was troubled like how much I was troubled. Right? You see, you have to understand something. See, if you go outside now, you're walking, right? And there's some drunkard fellow across the road, is drunk, you don't know whether who he is, where he came from, whatever. So he looks at you and he insults you. He swears you. Right? So if you are an intelligent person, you'll have a good laugh and carry on walking. Right? Person is jahil, is drunk, he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know who I am. He's just swearing me. I don't know him from nowhere. I don't want to break head with him. I carry on walking, and it won't even hurt you. It won't even hurt you. You don't know who this person is. He is swearing. You'd have a good laugh about it and you carry on. Right? But if someone who is your very good friend, somebody is your very good friend, you got feelings for the person, right? And now you have a little argument with that person also, this troubles you now. My friend, you're not talking. This troubles you, it hurts you. But that's your friend, somebody you know. Right? So our ulama explained to us that the level of love and concern that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for the ummah, no other Nabi had for their ummah to that level. So this is why when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got so much of love for that ummati, and that ummati has to insult Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hurt also will be so much. The hurt also will be of such a high degree. So although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had all this on his mind, his heart, etc., but whenever he would enter the house, he would be smiling. Always enter the house, he is smiling. You know, we're talking about a drunk person. You know, these intoxicants, such a terrible thing. One brother was telling me, that's why they say Al-Khamru Jumma'ul Ith. That this intoxicants, or Khamr is more wine, but it refers to all intoxicants. It is the gatherer of all gunas, you know, gather all sins. So one person was telling me, give me a real true story, right? Saying he was heavy on all this narcotics, you know, drugs and this and that. So one day himself and his friend, now they went on a night out on the town, and they were, you know, what term they say, out of their mind, like, you know, they totally smashed, right, high, blown out of their minds, or whatever you want to call it, right? So anyway, they came now, and the one boy now, his father is looking for this boy's, himself and this friend, they came by the house, and the father was waiting. So the father is looking at them, they can't even stand straight, you know, eyes are popping out, and so the father is taking off with them. And the father is taking off more with his son, right? But this fellow is standing there now. So he's saying he couldn't even stand now. He's around, you know, on the pavement, they surround there. And now he's catching fish too, dozing off a little bit. And the father is taking off. The friend is standing, right? So he says slowly, slowly what he did now. He took a couple steps away and slowly he walked away, like, you know, so like he's walking, turning, then he just went round the corner and he went away. The son now can't go nowhere. See, this is guna. Guna, so always remember this, while the guna is happening, people are very close. All the people who are involved in that sin, they're very close. But when the trouble happens, then after that is high nafsi, man. Everybody just wants to get out of it. If we can put somebody else, make him take the blame and we come out, we'll do it. A simple example is like in a maktab class or a primary school class. All of them will be making masti. Right? No, ustad walks in. Who's making noise? Someone was him. They'll put the other fellow involved also. But they were also making noise with him. But they put him involved too. So this fellow says he went away around the corner. So he says that he carried on walking. He came to one road. Now there's a group of friends. They're standing. You know how people stand on the roadside? Some sitting, some standing. So group of friends, they're standing in a circle and they're chatting. Like, you know, they're talking to one another. So he's saying he was so out of his mind. In his mind now, he's thinking there's two groups fighting here. Right? These two groups are fighting. And one group is his friends, the other group is his enemies. Right? So he's saying now, he looked at this thing, now he's gone in another mode now. So he went running. He went running, you know. The fight happening, the fighting with his friends. So he went running there, one fellow standing in one shot, give him one punch, give him. He say next thing, somebody hit him with a baton from the back, people are hitting him from all sides. Now he's thinking, I'm helping these people here, we're supposed to be fighting with those people, these people are hitting me. But now see the consequences, right? Now he says, he had a knife in his pocket. Now they're hitting him now. So he took out the knife. And he stabbed one fellow. Here in his face. Cut his whole cheek open. Why? Because he's intoxicated. He's intoxicated. He doesn't know what he's doing. Now, he just came from nowhere, in his mind he's hallucinating, he's thinking now, those people are fighting with his friends, he needs to go to their rescue, and now he ends up stabbing somebody. That person is a banda of Allah, that face created by Allah. Now you stab that face for no reason, that person the whole life now, his face will have that scar or that disfiguration or whatever. Now you're going to answer by Allah Pak on the day of Qiyamah. This is why these intoxicants, never ever get involved in it. Never ever get involved in intoxicants. Because even what you will never do, you end up doing. What you will never do, you end up doing. Because you're out of your senses now. You're out of your senses. That one brother is running one rehab there in Machalisburg. So he tells me, we got one patient there. The patient thinks he's the devil. His mind is so finished up, there's holes in his brains with this drugs that he's been taking. He actually thinks he is shaitan. One fellow was involved with the drugs. He told me himself, and now he's gone back in the drugs. Coming out, now again he's gone back. He told me himself, he's saying, I'll be sitting with my phone. The phone is off, but I'm getting messages through the phone. Right? He said, I was so paranoid. Now I'll jump into somebody's car. I say, hey, drive, drive, drive. They're coming for me. They're coming. His brain was so finished up. And then, what message is he getting? Message, the only way you can come out of this, you must kill your father. He's saying that one day, he actually went with the knife to go and stab his father to death. He went into the shop, and his intention was to go and stab his father to death. Then the staff all caught him and they pulled him out of their shop and gave him a good hiding. And that's the day his father got him arrested too. Because they couldn't control him. He's saying one day, this voice in his head is telling him that his wife is the satanic goddess. Right? And the only time she is going to be pleased with him, right? He has to do everything to please her. When he was not in his drunken, intoxicated state, now the wife is thrown him out of the house. Right? Now how to get back in the house now? So this voice is telling him in his head that the only way you can win your wife's love is you have to commit an act of homosexuality in front of her. So he's saying, he's telling me himself, he actually went and picked up a person, a homosexual person, who, like how you get these escort, woman escorts. So he went and picked up a homosexual person and brought the person to his house. And now, his wife is telling, is like chasing him away from the house. Right? So this man swore at this man he went and picked up and came, swore his wife. Because the wife is insulting him and telling him to get out of this yard, otherwise she's phoning the cops and this and that. So this fellow swore the wife. Now this fellow, in his head now, he went and picked up this man. Now this man swore the goddess here. He came now to please the goddess. This man swore the goddess. Now he picked up a brick, he hit this man. See, intoxicated state. That's why you read that Hadith Sharif, sometimes we think, how can this happen? Never ever think, how can this happen? The Hadith Sharif, this person, the woman wanted to commit zina with him. He was a pious person and this woman wanted to, always she used to see him, she wanted to commit zina with him. But she couldn't, lure him. So eventually one day what she did, she made a plan. She told her slave that when he's going past, must call him, tell him, that there's a problem here in the house, must come and help. So then only he'll come in the house. As soon as he comes in, lock the doors up. So now they trapped him, they got him into the house. So now this lady, she says to him that, see, one of three things you have to do, then only I'll let you go. You either commit adultery with me. If you don't want to do that, there's a baby here, you must kill that baby. You don't want to do that, there's wine there, you must drink it up. One of the three things, then I'll let you go. So he's thinking in his mind, I mean, the easiest thing to do here is to drink the wine. That seems to be like the lightest crime. But he was mistaken, because when he drank the wine, now he's intoxicated. He ended up murdering the baby also, and he ended up committing adultery with her also. So al-khamru jumma'ul ism. So this is why never ever get involved with narcotics, never ever get involved with intoxicants. So many women, their lives are a misery. Their lives are a misery because the husband is a drug addict. And today's time, the husbands are even turning their wives into addicts also. Because you see, a wife, she is desirous of her husband's company. Right? Now, the husband doesn't want to take her out because he's going to do all he's done does. But she wants to be with the husband. So best thing, you know, in English, what they say, if you can't beat them, join them. So eventually, she says she rather join. And some couples are getting married from before they got married. They are already clubbing and going rave clubs, and they are drugging and whatever, and then they get married now to one another and they continue with this. Muslim couples. Now must remember, the thing that differentiates insan from haywan, right? I'm not giving you, not the mantik now, the mantik they'll tell us, but insan is also haywan, right? Then they say, no, you haywanun natik and all that. We're not going into all that discussion. The thing that differentiates, makes us different, insan is different from janwar, right, is your power of choice, you know, your ability to think, your intellect. Animals don't have this. Animals, they have a brain, but their brain is very limited. You see, for example, a lion, right? The lions can't get together and start a refrigeration company and say that, you know what, Ramadan is coming, where are we going to hunt so much? We rather just kill good few buck beforehand and refrigerate them. When we need to eat, we'll take them out, thaw them out and eat. The lion can't think like that. As powerful as he is, how much muscles he got and whatever, but he doesn't have the ability to think beyond what Allah Pak wants him to think. The only thing he knows is, I must sleep, mating time I must mate, and eating time I need to go and hunt. Right? He cannot even think that, you know what, if there's no buck available, let me have some grass and leaves. That's available in abundance, let me have. That too you can't think. Yeah? It's not programmed that way. Insan is given that intellect, that if there's no steak, have green beans. Right? If you need to go for program now and you can't eat magni dar or chanani dar, so we can make some sandwich and carry on. That insan can think. Janwar can't think. Right? Now, when a person intoxicates himself, he is depriving himself of that quality which makes him insan. Otherwise, we same. Our anatomy is same. We got a heart, they got a heart. We got teeth, they got teeth. We got veins, blood, they got. We got this four limbs, they got same. All is almost the same. You take a sheep, you hold it up straight, right? You hold the legs up straight. You skin the whole thing, hold it up straight, right? And you hold one insan's body up straight. All what is inside insan is inside the sheep. Right? All is the same after that, right? But the thing that differentiates man from animal is his intellect, his ability to think, to focus, to plan, power of choice. This is what makes him insan, right? But now insan intoxicates himself, he deprives himself of that. Now once he deprives himself of that, then what insaniyat is left in him? Then he ends up doing all foolish things. There's no insaniyat left in him. So this intoxicants is a terrible thing, and it is a scourge of society today. So many people, and people think like, you know, they deals, like, you know, they big deals if they taking something. Yeah, you know, starts off from small. If I'm puffing, I'm a big deal. Other fellow is not puffing, you know, I'm a big deal. Then it goes on to worse things. The person thinks if he's taking drugs, he feels he's very good, you know, he's somebody. Are bhai, you're going worse than an animal. You're going worse than an animal. Because an animal has got the power to think, a limited power of thinking, right? But insan, if he's intoxicated, now he takes away that also. That's why Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Worse than animals too. They're worse than animals. So never ever get involved in it. Don't even try it out. Don't even try it out. You want to go to university, some of you, you want to go to university, Allah save you. But you go into that environment, this thing is freely moving around there in that environment. Every group you'll find somebody who's taking drugs or dealing in drugs or distributing drugs or whatever. Never ever get involved. This will impact on your entire life later on. I'm seeing people, professional people, good people, they got everything going for themselves, and now the drugs is catching up on them. Now the drug, they were able to camouflage it for a long time, but now it's catching up, because you got to take more, you got to take more, you got to take more, you got to take more. Now eventually the body is getting weaker, the craving is getting stronger, now it's catching up. Now you see a person, he's gone now 35, 40, now he's got, his wife is now just settled into a routine, the children are growing up, and now it surfaces that this man is an addict now. How? It upsets the whole apple cart. Where does that wife go? Where do these children go? And you see, when a person has got a bad habit, when a man has got a bad habit, then he has to always be frustrated and mad. His wife will never ever be enough for him. He's never content. Why? Because you see, he's hiding something. He's hiding something from the wife. Right? So he doesn't want to be around her. He wants to go out on his own, come back late, he wants to do his own thing. Right? Because he's ducking something, he's hiding something. So the wife, Bichari, she's after it very, very frustrated. She too doesn't know what to do. And this leaves a woman very, very vulnerable to get involved in an illicit affair. So she is looking for attention. And women, they like to talk their problems. Women like to talk their problems. Right? So whoever she finds, they start talking. Right? And a woman can never give another woman the comfort that a man can give a woman. Allah Pak made it like that. So one man must just give her attention, listen to her sad story, wipe her few tears, and you've got a recipe for disaster. Then the husband sits and cries after that. I'm not condoning the act of that wife, but this is what is happening in society. A man wants to run around with his bachelor friends, doing all his haram, wrong things, right? Leave the wife at home, she must just sit there in the house, right? Then sometimes she's either sitting and getting depressed and frustrated, or becoming a nervous wreck. And if her taqwa levels are not all that high, she'll end up striking up a relationship with somebody else. So this intoxicants is really causing, there's two major problems in today's society. One is intoxicants, right? The other is pornography. It's two major problems in today's society. And you see this phone. Phone is a real tool that can be used for dalalat. If a person is not careful, it's a ticket to dalalat. If a person is not careful. Because each person got their own phone. Each person got their own phone. You don't know what's on my phone, I don't know what's on your phone. And they look after that phone. Hey, that thing must just be with them all the time. Nobody must touch the phone. If they can help it, they'll put barbed wire around and electrical fencing and everything. They put codes to lock the phone. And what do you need to do? Only you got something to hide by. You got something to hide, then you don't want nobody to touch your phone. You got nothing to hide. You don't, no wrong people are phoning you. Then you won't mind. You're going for namaz, you leave your phone at home and you go. If somebody phones your wife, will take a message and give you the message later on. But when you're having an affair, now you don't want, your wife must come anywhere near that phone. Because what if she phones? The phone is at home. It's a problem. So this phone is a very, very dangerous thing. Always be an open book with your wife. Your wife must know exactly where you're going, with who you're going, what time you're going, what time you're coming. Your wife can be an asset for you. Your wife can be your protection. You need to go somewhere, take your wife and go. You take your wife and go, you can't get involved in wrong things. Your wife must have access to your phone. Your wife must have access to your life. Some fellas, they say, no, I'm making millions, I don't want her to see. If not, she'll ask for another diamond ring. You know, I lived my life from the time Allah Ta'ala blessed me with earning. Come end of the month, whatever earnings, I put my wife's hand. I said, I do whatever needs to be done. And up till now it's like that. I don't handle finance. You check my pocket. If you find 1-2 notes inside, you'll be lucky. I just give it to her. Say, you know what to do now. Who needs jersey and socks and kurta and cloak and whatever. Sort it out. Must be an open book. Your life must be an open book. Why you must have skeletons in the closet and you want secret this and secret that? What you got a wife for, man? What you got a wife for? Your wife is your soulmate. She's your life partner. She must know everything about you. Only if a person got wrong things, then he won't want his wife to know. But you got no wrong things. What you got to hide? Some people are so secretive and say, that's the husband's car, that's the wife's car. The wife mustn't even enter the husband's car. The wife mustn't come to the husband's workplace. She can't open the drawers in the office. Nothing. Why? Because there's some dal mein kuch kala hai bhai. There's something wrong, isn't it? Otherwise, why you must hide and all that? It's an open book. So never ever get involved in intoxicants. You'll spoil your whole life, spoil your wife's life, spoil your children's life, everybody's life. And the sunnah is enter the house smiling. But we'll continue with this sunnah. Allah Pak give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. نستغفرك ونتوب إليه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.